Jeff, I'm so glad we're sitting down for this conversation today. And let's start talking about that first expedition that you went on. How did you pack for it? It sounds like you've had an interesting story with packing and travel and luggage, even just to get to your first expedition.
Oh, well, yeah, there was that. You know, they give you instructions on what you should bring and you don't really understand them completely. And so I probably had brought more stuff than I needed to bring anyway. So the luggage was already kind of bulky and heavy. And, you know, you're trying to think, okay, it's a ship. There's not much space. It's a ship. You gotta winnow it down. So I've got my bag. It's, you know, packed. The ship 352 is leaving from Yokohama. So it's a flight from where I am in Tampa, Florida to Japan. I get there and my luggage doesn't come out until the very end. And the reason it didn't come out until the very end is that their system at Narita Airport had shredded my luggage. It came out in items.
So you spent all this time strategizing how you're going to fit everything in your luggage that you need for a 2-month expedition. Hmm. You get all the way to Japan and find the luggage is not existent anymore.
It's gone. Just shredded the whole thing.
What was your reaction? Were there any scraps of clothing left? Or
well, I mean, I lost a couple things because whatever chewed in and messed up a couple, I think some t-shirts and a couple items that I pretty much had to just give up on. And fortunately, important things that didn't get destroyed was the coffee I was bringing because, you know, I'm a forward boy and I got to have coffee and stuff like that. But I had nothing to put it in. And so I'm walking around Narita Airport, you know, it's Japan. I don't speak Japanese with this remnants of my luggage. It's like, what happened?
So you just picked up the scraps off the belt at the
airport. Yeah, I'm just sort of carrying it around in this like a baby. And finally, you know, one of the people, it was American Airlines, and somebody was down there from Americans as well. Obviously, we have to get you another bag. I said, yeah, you do. And as it wasn't like I was going to have an opportunity to do it myself because you're on a kind of tight timetable once you get there, right? They want to get you to the hotel and get everything sorted out. And so they got me this bag, which was easily twice the size. This was their available. It was free. They didn't make me pay for it, but it was twice the size of the bag that I was bringing.
Good news. You have a new piece of luggage. Bad news. It's way too big.
It's so big. You know, I'm just looking at this thing and it's kind of hard sighted. And I'm just really, at that point, I'm not really thinking about the downstream effects of that, which as it turned out were substantial because you get on the cruise, the rooms are not big. Okay.
Exactly.
And they're not all yours. You always have a roommate. And so whatever you bring bag wise, and they tell you this, you need to be able to kind of fold it up and put it away somehow. So they were encouraging sort of soft sided duffels and things, which is what I'd had. And it's what Narita Airport's bag claim thing, basically, you know, the baggage control thing basically chewed up. And so what they gave me instead was this gigantic, heavy, hard-sided monstrous thing that I could fit in it. It was that. and so there was no problem getting my remaining gear in it, but it was unwieldy enough to carry around that it was just like, oh my God, how is this even going to work?
I can't imagine. So here you are the first time you're sailing on Joydee's Resolution and you're showing up with the wrong luggage that they did not recommend you bring. I can't imagine the looks you might've gotten.
There was some, I was kind of wandering through. It's not my bag. It's not my bag. It's not my bag. They ate my bag. It's not my bag. And, you know, and the gangway getting up to the JR it doesn't matter what luggage you're carrying. It's difficult.
And right. It's very narrow.
It's very narrow and it's very steep. And this thing is like swinging all over the place. And, you know, I'm sure the technical staff said, who is this idiot? And as it turned out, my roomie and I eventually figured out how to get this damn thing stowed once I got it up there and in the room. And the room was in upper tween. So it had to go up onto the main deck and then it had to go down two flights of those stairs to get in the back corner where they put me as a newbie. And fortunately, my roomie had been out on a couple cruises and he just said, I explained, this is what I got because they destroyed my luggage. And we figured out that there was a way to literally stuff the damn thing behind the bed.
Oh, there you go.
Because the room was not normal. It wasn't square, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of kind of trapezoidal, and they had the, and the bed was a little too long. And so it kind of didn't fit, but it meant there was a little space back there. And so we're able to smash it down and get it in there and get it, you know, get it into that space. And so it stayed out of the way. And after that it was, you know, it wasn't a problem for 2 months. And then of course in 2 months it was a problem again. But it was a different problem getting it home. So, you know, that was
it's nice you can laugh about it now, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So we left Yokohama, you know, 2 months at sea, and then we came into Taiwan, Keelung. You know, there it wasn't even a big deal. I mean, it was okay, it's a crappy bag. And weirdly, I mean, the golden lining on this whole thing is I passed this information. It was a JanSport bag back when JanSport actually made luggage, and they replaced it for free. They just
really.
I told them the story, and they sent me another bag.
Now you have this oversized hard bag in addition to a new JanSport.
That didn't last long. It didn't even fit in the house. Right? It was just like, what am I going to do with it? But that's what came home.